97.5 The Fanatic.
What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic, 5:54 on a Flyers Friday. As they had game two right here on The Fanatic, you just heard it, ending in a 5-0 loss to the Montreal Canadiens. Series now tied 1-1 after game number two, and they get back at it game number three on Sunday. Again, how you doing? Broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Devon Givens with you until right around 8:45 as we lead you into Sixers basketball. So a double dip here on The Fanatic with our winter teams that are slash our summer teams, the Flyers and the Sixers. Sixers take on the Houston Rockets in their final seeding game of the eight games inside the bubble before the playoffs get started next week on Monday, game number one against the Boston Celtics. That is the matchup for the first round inside the bubble. So we'll get into that a little bit later on because we are leading you into the game. Not more so, more so for the conversation of what it's going to mean for the Sixers against the Celtics, but nothing really about the Houston Rockets tonight because this game, neither one of these teams are really in it to win it. They're out there to go out there and perform at their best of their ability, not get hurt, move on from there. So we'll get into that a little bit later on, but we have to dive into this loss. 5-0 to the Montreal Canadiens again, tying things up 1-1. Before you knew it, 2-0 at the end of one, 4-0 at the end of the second, and you remove Carter Hart, bring in Brian Elliott at that point, and the score ends up 5-0. This was just one of those terrible things for the Philadelphia Flyers here in general, and just not a good look overall, but it happens. You heard Coatsy and Tim Saunders talk about it. Jason Martinez during the post game, great work by everyone. Pat Egan, Dylan McKinnon, Betsy Demning, during everything during the Flyers broadcast. And it's just one of those things where it happens from time to time. You just hate that it happens in the postseason. But they were not going to go undefeated. They were going to eventually lose a game in the postseason. Get it out of the way right now. You saw what happened to the Flyers, of course, on Wednesday in their first game, with a little tremendous second period, a bit of a tough one for them in the second period, right? Second period, just tough. They came out there and they played them very, very tough in the second period, and you know, it's just that, you know, a tough game overall. A tough second period for the Flyers overall with what they went through, but they were able to fight through it, get through everything. Carter Hart performing at a very high level, and with him playing that well, they were able to find their way to a W. So they were able to find their way to a W in that game. And what a lot of people did talk about after the game was how the Flyers got away with one. Because when they went down 2-1 at one point, or I mean 1-1, and when it was tied, they came right back and Joel Farabee was able to get that goal to make it 2-1. Flyers, they wind up with the victory, no goal scored in the third period. And what people talked about was just how physical, how much the Canadiens outplayed the Philadelphia Flyers in that second period. And in that second period, now watching this game, listening to it here on The Fanatic with the guys calling the game, Timmy and Coatsy, and sitting here watching it with Pat Egan, you can just see where that kind of carried over to this particular game against the Canadiens in game number two, backed up by, of course, a very good day by Carey Price. And you know how good Carey Price is. You know, good goaltenders, they can, in fact, win you some games, and pardon me, also oftentimes can win you some series. So that's that's something there that we're gonna have to pay attention to with these five games remaining. You hope that this is one that they pay attention to, they go back to the film, and they find a way to recuperate, regroup, and knock out the kinks of the things that they have go against them badly in the second period in game number one, and this entire game here for the Flyers against the Canadiens. You have a good goaltender like them, it's going to happen. They were physical, they were fast, they were undeterred by anything that the Flyers did today. And not to say that, hey, with the Flyers, you look at a situation and say, hey, they just played bad. It's okay. Sometimes it happened. No, they played bad, but the Canadiens played very good in their win over the Flyers today. It happens. You hope they're able to regroup, just like the Canadiens were able to go back and look at what they did in the second period against the Flyers. You hope that the Flyers are now certainly going to take a look at this entire thing. Look at it. Don't gloss too much over it. Pick out the things that you need to pick out. Of course, get back to playing Flyers hockey that you know that they're very good at. And of course, putting themselves in the number one seed and definitely putting themselves in this spot to be the favorite against this Canadiens team. They came out. They did their jobs. The Canadiens did their part. And now the Flyers just simply have to regroup overall and get back out there on the ice on Sunday and try to find a way to take things in game number three on Sunday against this Canadian team. So listen, if you're leaving Xfinity Live where the watch party was, please feel free to give us a call on your way out. Once you are on the road safely, seatbelts buckle, phones, of course, on your Bluetooth, except for when you're ready to pick up the call because it's easier to hear from you there. Make sure your radio is turned down after you get on the air. But let us know what you thought about this game overall. 610-632-0975. What stood out to you in this Flyers loss? It happens. You cannot win them all. You're not going to go undefeated. And we also know about the NHL playoffs, how anyone can take a game and a series in the National Hockey League Stanley Cup playoffs. That's just the nature of the sport. That's the nature of the playoffs. And you hope that the Flyers are able to bounce back because people have plenty, much, you know, just big time confidence about this hockey team and what they are able to do. This is the first time that we now have to sit down since March, have a conversation about what went wrong and why they were unable to pull this one off and where you are, knowing that this is a 7-game series. You know how it can be. 7-game series, the first time your team loses the first time a series is tied up, that's when you get a little tight as a fan and say, I didn't expect this one. And now here we are. It's 1-1. I don't think anyone is going to panic. I think many people are just simply going to look at it for what it was, for what it is. You're still playing a Canadiens team that is a playoff team, a goaltender in Carey Price who is very good. I don't know if you want to lean towards the emotional lift that it could possibly give them as well with their coach being ill from the last game, not being there today, hospitalized, and you look at a situation like that where they may uplift you. If you want to lean on, look, with all due respect, it's a totally different situation with Oscar Lindblom, but you know, if you want to lean on that as an emotional boost for the Flyers with him being there and certainly throughout the regular season, once December happened and he was taken away from the team, now back with it after fighting and battling the cancer and coming through, fighting through everything and being able to rejoin and regroup with the team overall, then you can certainly look at a situation like this as well where the head coach is hospitalized. The team is feeling a certain type of way about him. They rally together and say, hey, let's go do this one for the head coach. It happens. We can't ignore that. And maybe they did have an emotional boost for this game number two, followed by a flat performance by the Philadelphia Flyers. And you have to give credit to the Montreal Canadiens for what they were able to do overall. Just a couple of things that, you know, we were talking about. Again, obviously them coming out flat. And I mean, we, Tyler, Pat Egan and I sitting there watching the game, my man Connor Thomas producing the show as we take you up to 8:45. Too many penalties. They had entirely too many penalties today for the Flyers, and you feel like with something like that, you're really playing against yourself. Even with the good performances overall, you're playing against yourself trying to catch up when you put yourself in a hole like that, playing against these penalties out there on the ice. And again, against a good team that already has the advantage on you when you put yourself in a hole of a 2-0 goal lead deficit to the Canadiens, you're playing from behind. Obviously, you cannot make these errors that you have, these unforced errors, if you will, with the too many penalties. looking frustrated as Pat. This is more, this one right here, of course, Pat Egan, looking more frustrated with the forecheck and how things were going out there on the ice. Didn't seem like they could, they were regrouping. They weren't reacting the way that they would normally act to something like that. Normally what we see is how they are very good against the forecheck and it never ruffles them while they're out there on the ice. In this particular game, that is a spot that they put themselves in that the forecheck looked like it was an issue for them today in game number two. We already talked about Carey Price, how good he was, and the top line giving up those two goals where it you know, just looked like right there the confidence just started to uplift what the Canadians were doing out there, knowing that you can do that against that top line. That is something that you're going to have to fight through once the, again, you get to the second period. Now it's 3-0, then it's 4-0, having to pull the goaltender where you probably could have let him finish out that second period. It was already, the damage was already done. Was he going to give up a fifth one? Maybe, but you know, you understand why it happened in the first place. Just get him out of the game. He's been playing great over the last couple of weeks that they've been inside this bubble, winning the scrimmage game, winning the three round robin games, and certainly winning game number one. Just get him off the ice. You want to avoid the injury. You want to get him off the ice and not only anything else, get into his head. Young player that's playing like a seasoned vet so far. Get him off the ice right now. Just do that. And finally, at the end, you heard the guys talking about it. Travis Konecny with a bit of an injury down the stretch. You don't want to see it, especially if it's something that could have been a little bit avoided with so late in the game and giving up yourself the way that he did, Konecny. And you hope that he's okay and he won't have to miss the next game against the Montreal Canadiens. So those are a few things that stood out to myself, stood out to Pat Egan, Connor Thomas. We'll hear from him as well to get his thoughts on the game and how things played out in the Flyers' first loss of the postseason, dropping game number two to the Canadiens 5-0. Series now tied 1-1. Next game will in fact be on Sunday, and that game will be right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. The game will be at 8 o'clock, so we'll get you ready for that one. Get ready for this next critical game three, a very important game number three for the Philadelphia Flyers against the Canadiens right here on Sunday against the Montreal Canadiens. So our numbers to check in with us, let us know how you feel about game number two. What does this mean now for game number three? A critical game. Is it a do or die situation? No. But you don't want to allow the Montreal Canadiens to gain that momentum where they are now feeling like the confident and hot team going into game number three. They get that win, then they start to increase their confidence overall, starting to move on where they really start to pick things up, and the Flyers are now the ones playing from behind as the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, giving up their momentum overall, and that's where we'll be at that point. We don't want to see them coming away from game number three down one in the series. Will it be the end of the world? No, because you still have time and opportunity to get that back. But this is what we believed about this team. They're able to fight through anything. They have been resilient all season long, starting from game number one, where they were supposed to be a borderline playoff team, getting to the point that when they went on the hiatus, when the COVID hit our country and our world, they were one of the hottest teams, if not the hottest team, in the National Hockey League. They come back playing that exhibition game. You still look good. Win the round robin. Go from 4-1, game number one, where you look solid overall. And here we are right now, where the Flyers did not look good today. Not a very good performance, but they have an opportunity on Sunday, 8 o'clock, to bounce back and take a 2-1 series lead, regain that command of the series, and get back to playing Flyers hockey like we know and love from this hockey team. So if you're leaving the Xfinity Live, where the watch party was, great work again by the morning show being out there and being a part of the watch party with the great people at Xfinity Live. If you were there, you had an opportunity to watch the game there, let us know what it was also like being there, being that this was the first time that you had to see a live playoff game for one of our local teams in a watch party scenario and how great it was out there overall, just the energy with the crowd, being back with your fellow fans, watching it, and one of the great spots that is Xfinity Live, and what it was like overall being there, back out there for the first time, if it was for the first time for you since the coronavirus, where you're being in an outdoor setting, spaced out. Let us know what that was like as well as you watched the game, watched everything, and again, just seeing you out there with the people one more time. Just let us know how that was as well as you watched the Philadelphia Flyers fall. 610-632-0975. I'm Devon Givens with you until 8:45 tonight on this Flyers Friday. We do have Sixers basketball that will tip off at 9 o'clock tonight, live from the bubble in Orlando with Tom McGinnis will be on the game call. Brian Seltzer, would you get you prepared for the game with the pregame coverage starting at 8:50 here on the Fanatic. The Sixers are 3-4 inside the bubble. Doesn't matter anymore what the overall record is as they take on the Houston Rockets tonight. They have been locked in now to the sixth seed for the last couple of days, now knowing that they will play the Boston Celtics in round number one inside the bubble for the Eastern Conference start of the playoffs. So we'll get to that. We already have people who want to talk about that. We certainly have Flyers phone calls as well. So our number, 610-632-0975. What went wrong this afternoon? What do they need to do to regroup? Do you still have confidence in this team, of course, that they will bounce back? No worries. You're 100% confident in this hockey team that they will bounce back and be the same Flyers that you are accustomed to seeing this 19-20 campaign. So 610-632-0975 will take you to 8:45 here on this Friday night. We will start off in the Northeast with John with some Flyers conversation here on 97.5 The Fanatic. John, how you doing?
What's going on, Devon?
How you doing, man? Well, it was tough to see that when we're so accustomed to one thing. We didn't think they would go undefeated, but they, you know, just didn't expect this type of performance.
Right. I don't know if you remember. I called last Monday. I was giving you some hockey picks, like the Islanders and the Hurricanes.
I remember.
Right,
yep.
They're looking good, huh?
Might yeah.
Right.
Hey, man. Listen.
But,
good call by you.
Yeah. Right. But listen, for this game today, like we expect it, I guess, to go pretty easily through this Montreal team. But when you really look at the team and how they play, like they beat Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's a good team. We had to take them to overtime in that first exhibition game. And the matchup against Montreal is kind of in their favor because they're a much, I guess, smaller and quicker team. And the only way to beat those teams is you got to play physical. And we don't play that physical. And you also saw like a bunch of defensive breakdowns in front of the net. I mean, I think it was three of the goals came from not clearing the puck, and it was all for rebounds from Hart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big problem, and that's one thing that, I mean, I know they brought Ghost in to maybe pick up the power play a little bit, but he didn't look good defensively last game and not this game either. I'd bring Hegg back in.
Well, listen, you know that it's been a thing where Gostisbehere has been able to bounce back this season. Still a little bit in the doghouse from time to time where he's a healthy scratch. But you're right, Hegg has been playing well for this team. And if we already know one thing, John, about Alain Vigneault, something's not working. He's not afraid to call the number of someone else and get them in there and try to change things around in the positive for this team. So if that's somewhere that they have to go, then so be it. But you're right, man. Use that physicality that we know that the Flyers can do, even though it's not necessarily their calling card. We have seen them do it, John, and it's worked in their favor before. That's the speedy Montreal team on the other side. The Flyers also have some speed on their side as well. So do the things that we've seen them do very well. Go back out there and get ready for game number three. Watch the film. Make sure you do what you need to do and correct the things that were a negative against you and get back out there for this next contest.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I will say I did have the Flyers losing this game. Most hockey games, when it's good matchups like these two teams are, it's usually 1-1. It's hard for a team to go 2-0. And then I think the next game, the Flyers will bounce back. I think Elaine's going to have to switch some stuff up. But I think they'll be able to do it.
Yeah, well, I do too, man. Nothing has changed. You know what I'm saying? Nothing has changed for me with how I feel about this hockey team, John. So
not at all.
I expect them, John, to come back on Sunday, 8 o'clock, and maybe even if it's a close win, but hey, maybe they're due for one of those 3-4-1 victories and establish that, not necessarily dominance, but just establish the fact that, hey, we are the better team and we're going to make sure we do our part.
Yeah, that's crucial for next game, man. If they want to get through this series, they really got to light them up.
Yes, sir. John, great stuff, man. Hopefully we're talking on Monday about a victory after Sunday night's contest against the Canadiens. Have a great weekend, man.
All right, you'll be hearing from me, man.
No doubt. Always enjoy it, John. 610-632-0975. Before we get back to the phones, taking your phone calls again. Flyers fall 5-0 in game two against the Canadiens. Your thoughts, what went wrong in this contest? What do you look for them to improve to pick up a win again in game number three against the Canadiens on Sunday night? If you're leaving Xfinity Live where the watch party was taking place, give us a call again, please, 610-632-0975. Not only about the game, but also letting us know what the atmosphere was like there, knowing that this is probably the first time for a lot of people getting back in a setting like that and watching the teams play. Connor Thomas, again, producing the show with us until 8:45 here on the Fanatic. Connor, you were also in here watching the game with us as well. What were your takeaways from this one? Not going to go undefeated. It's not going to be an easy one, even though you are the number one seed. You're going to get the best of everyone. What was your takeaway from this game?
Well, the tough thing was the Canadiens came out and just punched the Flyers in the mouth right off the drop. A minute in, you're already down. And from there, it's just the Flyers just looked like they laid down. And that's not something this team has done this year. They definitely haven't done it in the restart. We've seen, and you talked about it, quick answering goals since they've come back. And we also know that in the regular season, no back-to-back losses. So hopefully they'll still be able to bounce back. But they just got attacked left and right. You talked about the forecheck already. And they were just pressured the whole time. The thing that scares me is going into this series, I took a look at the season series between the Flyers and the Canadiens. And those three games, they played three times. The Flyers' two wins were both overtime wins. And then the Canadiens took one of those three with a 4-1 victory. So the Canadiens whooped them one game, and then the other two were close, hard-fought wins for the Flyers. That's what we saw in game one, too. So the Flyers haven't beaten this team by more than one goal at all this year. They've played them tough. Regular season, restart, everything. So I think it was a wake-up call for a young team where you realize you can't have down nights in NHL playoff hockey if you want to compete for the Stanley Cup. And I think they'll bounce back.
Yeah, and they also need more from the first line. You need a better performance from the first line. And we really haven't been able to call out the names of Voracek or Giroux. Couturier, we've been able to call out his name from time to time and some good things, and we've plucked out some other names on the different lines because of the depth, and that's what really gets us to talk about the depth, being able to point out where Farabee does well, even Haig, with John pointing out him and some of the things that he's been doing, Kubel as well. But you need those good performances from your first and second line, which we're accustomed to hearing from, and these are the times where you also, as you said, with the young team, yes, the coach can press the right buttons. The first and second lines do really drive things as well, where you need them to have an overall good performance out there on the ice for this hockey team. They've done tremendous all year long, and we don't want to see them now take a step back in the most crucial times when the playoffs are now getting underway.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I don't know about you, this end of game one, even with that one goal lead near the end, it was kind of waiting for the buzzer to sound, waiting for the horn to go off.
They were
hanging on.
It was too much in that zone, too much crowding around Carter Hart.
Right.
Get it out, get it into the other end. How about you get the empty netter first? They were trying to get that when they couldn't get that done. But you're right, man. You're right. Just too much where we were desperately waiting for 0-0, 0-0s on the clock simply because At any given point, we were looking like there's too much of an advantage for Montreal where it's somehow, some way they're going to tie this up and this is going to go to overtime.
Yeah, and that hasn't been the Flyers this year. We've been pretty solid, pretty steady-handed. They take after the coach in that way. So it's been about four periods straight of hockey where we haven't seen them at their best. But again, the good news is history's told us about this team. They haven't had back-to-back games where they've just stunk it up this year.
They're always able to rebound. They find a way to play Flyers hockey and get right back at it. And the other good part about this that makes me very confident, if this is my number one thing that makes me still feel confident about this hockey team getting ready for game number three after a disappointing loss in game number two, it's the head coach. He finds a way. Somehow, some way, he finds a way. Whether he says, you know what, guys, let's forget about this one, then I'll trust him. If he said, if I say no, guys, you guys need to go and watch the tape. You need to watch the film, and you need to look at things and figure out what went wrong instead of going into practice and doing the normal and let's do this. We got to do this. We got to do that. If he says no, 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 we don't need to do that. What we need to do is simply go out there, get ready for practice, forget about what happened on Friday because, hey, it happens sometimes. Let's go out there, regroup, play Flyers hockey. This is our game plan. This is our strategy. This is what we're going to do. Then I'm like, oh, okay, I'm buying in. When I say I have complete faith in him, I'm buying in to whatever he is preaching to this team because he is the one, of course, with the players and Chuck Fletcher and what he has done, he is the one that has gotten them to this position where not only do they feel comfortable with what his system is, I feel comfortable knowing that what he is saying is going to work in game number three. So that is the number one reason why I feel confident still going into game number three, and I'm not going to panic. They had a bad game. You have to give credit to the opponent who played a great game this afternoon against the best team where they could have folded because of not only the emotional lift of the head coach being ill, it could have went the opposite way where they're worried about him and they just, you know, fold up game number two. All right, we let this one up. Let's regroup in game number three and hope we don't drop that one. Their backs were against the wall. They came out and they performed very, very well against this Flyer team. I have faith in the head coach to have them ready to go where they are prepared for the next game against this Canadian team where they're able to regroup again. I keep saying that because they just simply have to regroup, but round things back into form, get back to playing Flyers hockey and get back out there on Sunday with the approach that they always have, which is to get ready for the contest and feel like they are the best team on the ice no matter what. 610-632-0975. Dave, do us a favor and hang on. We're going to take a quick break. We come right back, 25 minutes commercial free. We'll get to you, give you all your time on the Sixers Celtics and what the matchup is with them in the first round of the playoffs because we do have to talk about that. This is the final time that we will be on the air before game number one on Monday against the Celtics. The game is 6:30. I will not be on until after the game in the post. So, of course, I feel like I want to preview that game as well and get everyone else's opinion on what they feel about Sixers-Celtics in game number one on Monday for the start of the Eastern Conference playoffs because, of course, I do have thoughts. So I want to get you guys' thoughts. Dave, again, if you will, hang on. We'll get to you on the other side first and give you your opportunity to say your piece about the Sixers and the Celtics once again renewing their rivalry in the playoffs. 610-632-0975. Flyers fall in game number two to the Canadiens 5-0. Game number three, Sunday, 8 o'clock, puck drop right here on 97.5, The Fanatic. In game number three, and we hope that this team will be able to bounce back on Sunday and pick up the second win of their series, take this 2-1 lead, and we can get back to feeling good, but not letting our foot off the gas overall. 610-632-0975. Devon Gibbons with you until 8:45. Sixers basketball at 9 against the Rockets here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Brendan Gallagher pushes it on goal. The rebound, they score. Montreal gets the first one early on in the contest as Carter Hart made the initial save, put the rebound right back out in front. The Habs pounce on it. Just a minute and 2 seconds in, it's Thomas Tatar's first goal of the playoff.
And he banged in two of them this afternoon. We'll hear from the other one from Thomas Tatar a little bit later on. Devon Gibbons with you until 8:45, leading you into Sixers Rockets basketball right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. The 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Family & Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com South Jersey's Diamond Destination. How do you feel about this afternoon's game? Flyers 4-5 zip to the Canadiens. Did not look themselves. They look flat. They did not look like the Flyers team that we've been used to seeing over the past season, really, once they started really getting things going. And once the return of hockey inside the bubble started to happen in Toronto, we have grown accustomed to seeing a certain Flyers team out there on the ice. You cannot win them all, cannot pitch a perfect game every time out. However, they just didn't look themselves. So you have to give credit to the Montreal Canadiens for frustrating them, not making them feel comfortable, and simply putting it on them right away, where they gained the confidence themselves and started to really pull away from the Flyers. 2-0, period. You just heard Tatar with the first one. He had two overall. They did not let up. They just kept going, going, and going. And when you have someone like Carey Price, who's also out there, who's a very good goaltender, he's not who he used to be, but he's still darn good. 30 saves against the Flyers today. All right, 30 saves today against the Flyers. Seemed like it was tough for them to get shots all afternoon long, shots on goal, but when they did, he stopped them all, shutting them out 5-0 this afternoon. 610-632-0975. If you are, again, leaving Xfinity Live's watch party where the morning show was this afternoon, let us know, number one, about the game, and number two, let us know what the atmosphere was like in South Philadelphia at Xfinity Live. If this was, in fact, the first time you were able to get back with your fellow fans, watch a game in an atmosphere like this where you had to be social distance and watch the game however you had to watch the game, our new norm, if you will. 610-632-0975. We promise Dave we'll give him a chance about the Sixers before we get to everyone else with the Flyers. Dave in Center City. How you doing, Dave?
Yo, what's new, guy?
Good to hear from you.
Likewise. Hey, before I get to Sixers Celtics, you raised two excellent points in regards to the Flyers. The number one seed in the NHL is not exactly a blessing all the time. And you raised an interesting point. Vigneault, that's a top-tier head coach with pedigree, with back class. He will fix this. And also, let me add something. Flyers didn't lose home ice advantage, did they, today?
No, they neutral ice advantage. There is none.
Yeah. I think the Flyers have an excellent template in place, much like the LA Kings did the 2 years they won Stanley Cups, where not only do they beat you, they bottle you up. I don't know what happened today. It's a clunker. I mean, Doug Peterson, who's one of the greatest head coaches around, his team play a clunker from here to there. But let's get to Sixers Celtics. Okay. Oh, by the way, my buddy pointed this out. The Phoenix Suns and the Sixers have the same odds to win the title. Who would ever think that?
Well, unfortunately, we got knocked out last night after a silly shot, in my opinion, from Caris LeVert. He had C.J. McCollum on him with about 15 seconds. They were winding down the clock for the last shot. And Caris LeVert had a really good game last night. But defensively, if you have C.J. McCollum on you, you're able to get to the rim all evening long. Take him to the basket, Dave. Get a bucket.
Yeah.
My Phoenix Suns will be playing tomorrow, 2:30, against Portland. And unfortunately, we're going back to Phoenix, man.
Yeah, what a shame. I still don't understand the Mikal Bridges, Zaire Smith thing.
Well,
maybe if you and I got drunk one night.
Well, I don't drink, but I can tell you soberly that he's happy in Phoenix, and I'm happy he is in Phoenix. So we're good.
Sixers Celtics. Sixers are up against they have two battles on their hands. No Ben and a head coach who's a village idiot. I think if... How healthy is Embiid right now?
Unknown. The only thing that we do know is the ankle, which he tweaked in the game before the Suns game on Tuesday. So I think that was on Sunday against the Blazers when he tweaked his ankle. And that's the only thing that we know as of now that is something for him. So right now, I would say, Dave, he's healthy.
All right. So if he could rip off 45s and 22s, and that Richardson character could step up like he did the other night, putting what he put up, 32.
Richardson, yes.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. The Sixers can outscore anybody without Ben. I don't know. What do you got in this series? Who do you got winning with your heart, not your head?
No, I'll give you both.
With your head.
Right now, I say Celtics in five right now just because of the coaching advantage with Brad Stevens having the success that he did have in the playoffs before. I know Brown had the advantage during the regular season, 3-1, but right now things have changed. There's no Ben Simmons available to him. We know how important he is defensively, Dave, so that's where I lean right now. I also think that while Joel Embiid can win you a game, he can actually win you a series, to be perfectly honest with you.
However,
I have not yet seen that Joel Embiid in the playoffs to feel confident to say that that's going to happen. If I see that Joel Embiid in game number one, then I should be able to change my opinion based on what I see in game number one. But if I don't see that, then I'm going to stick with what I believe and say that Celtics in five right now.
Oh, boy, then we got problems.
That's just my opinion.
Your opinion is closer to fact than being subjective. Take care, my brother.
You too, Dave. Thanks so much for the call, man. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. And yeah, we'll get to the Sixers Celtics in a minute. But as far as the Flyers, his point, once again, my thing with Alain Vigneault is that that is what makes me feel comfortable with the Flyers bouncing back in game number three. And certainly with him feeling comfortable, that means I feel comfortable with the players believing in whatever he preaches to get them prepared for game number three as they get ready for game number three on Sunday. Look at it, we're already wiping it out, but we're not going to do that yet because we want to take the phone calls, getting your reaction from the fans of what you saw and listened to this afternoon in the Flyers 5-0 loss to the Canadiens, 610-632-0975. Back to the phones we go. We head to Bethlehem with Greg next on the Fanatic. Greg, good evening.
Hey, how you doing? I can't say that I predicted a 5-0 blowout, but I was concerned in the first game there were stretches where Montreal was clearly more physical, and it seemed like stretches where they had more speed. The Flyers countered by stopping the east-west passes and were going more north-south, and they seemed to be able to get the pucks in deep. I had to listen to it today on the app, and it sounded like the forecheck, Montreal's forecheck was ferocious.
Yep.
And, you know, the Flyers just weren't connecting on their passes. I don't know if they weren't getting rid of the puck. You know, it's kind of hard to tell that on the radio. If they weren't, or if they were trying to stick handle and got stripped, or if they were holding on to the puck too long looking for somebody. But
I think it was I think it was more of what the Canadiens were doing to make them feel uncomfortable overall. Right. You know, not just one thing. It was a collection of many things, Greg, in that regard, because they just simply couldn't get enough shots on goal. They couldn't make Price uncomfortable with the, you know, just peppering him with different shot attempts to finally get one through. So I think it was a multitude of things, Greg, overall with the things that they were doing, Canadiens, which were in their favor this afternoon.
I was hoping the Flyers young guys, you know, I mean, none of them should be that tired. You know, they obviously had a shortened season, so they shouldn't be worn out.
And a day off since Wednesday. Yeah.
You know, you would think that at least with young legs, you know, they'd have the speed there. It seemed like in the first game they weren't taking the body as much. They were getting away with it, but it sounded like in this game, you know, Montreal was taking away space, and the Flyers couldn't figure out how to deal with that.
And the speed became too much of a problem for them, Greg. They couldn't handle the speed, and they seemed to step behind. As we said, at the very top, flat. They were a flat team. But you have to give credit to Montreal again for what they were able to do. So when you look at game number three, Greg, and just previewing what will you expect to see, what do you expect to see from this Flyers team on Sunday night?
Well, I mean, obviously they need to get fired up. I don't know if they need to change anything with their scheme of plays to, you know, get the pucks out of their end. I don't know if they want to monkey around too much, but it seemed like they were playing in their own end quite a bit.
Right.
You know,
you're talking about the Canadiens, right?
Well, the Canadiens were playing in our end.
Right. Yeah.
Most of the time. And so the Flyers need to figure out, you know, they figured it out in the first game. They were getting bottled up in the neutral zone there for a while. And then they changed their pattern of bringing the puck up. And they didn't have that issue. You know, today it seemed like it reared its ugly head again. So, you know, they have to make some adjustments as far as getting the puck up the ice.
You're right. And again, just giving themselves an opportunity. Greg, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. You play in the other zone, of course, and certainly you give yourself a chance to find a way to get the puck past Carey Price, and that will work in your favor. Again, just having that chance of getting one through and gaining that momentum. 610-632-0975. Connor, you were about to say something?
Well, yeah, I was just thinking, because you've been posing the question about things that you would change, and I agree with your sentiment that they should trust the coach and kind of keep everything together. The one thing that keeps coming back to my mind, and I got to get it out there, Shane Gostisbehere today was just flat out awful, and there's no way to sugarcoat it. And we've seen that from him, where he had his breakout season as a rookie, and then he disappeared for a while.
Hasn't been the same.
Then he hasn't, and sometimes you can hide those guys behind a good lineup, but he just, I mean, he was a big reason. He had a goal that went in, that went a five-hole on, I forget if it was Carter at that point or if they had already pulled him, but that bounced off his skate from a Montreal player's attempted pass to center it. I mean, he just wasn't where he was supposed to be, back-checking his man all day. So if there was a change I was going to make, they have to get Ghost out of the lineup. They have to sit him down because they need someone a little bit. I don't care what line you're on. If you're going to get pressed like they did this past game, and Montreal's going to have that aggressive of a forecheck, you can't have guys that are just hanging in your own zone that have no clue what they're doing. And Ghost looked lost today.
And that's a shame because, again, like you said, the rookie season, he just seemed right. Like there was something that they found there and he looked like he belonged. Follows it up with a bad season, hasn't been right, has some positive ones this year, and then he goes back into having the bad ones where he's now being pulled healthy scratch by the head coach because he just does not have enough faith in him. And so you're right, man. If that's what it is, then Hague it is. You have to pull that number again, call that number, and get Hague back out there. 610-632-0975. We'll get to the Sixers in a little bit because we don't want to ignore what Dave had to say as a preview for the upcoming series against the Boston Celtics starting Monday, game number 1, 6:30, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. We go back to the phones. A couple people have dropped off that did want to talk Flyers. They dipped off, and we want to give everyone an opportunity, some open lines if you want to get in to talk Flyers, 610-632-0975. Gene in Colorado, how you doing, man?
Yo, what up, D? How it goes?
Gene, what's going on out there in Colorado?
You know, man, I'm just enjoying the boys. Listen, everyone's just got to chill. Here's what I'm thinking. Their coach had a major incident in his life, his heart, and this is all emotion. This is all emotion. Don't give up on our boys.
Sometimes emotion can carry you. You know that.
Well, no, I know that. I understand that, but it's just this.
And
it's
look,
just,
we didn't say that. We didn't say the Flyers are doomed. I think everyone has basically said we still feel confident in them that they can come bounce back in game number 3. So we did the exact same thing, Gene. We said the whole thing about the head coach being ill and an emotional boost that they may have gotten that can carry you from time to time. A witness, obviously, Oscar Lindblom here in Philadelphia. More. Serious, of course, but not that one is more serious than the other, but you know what I'm saying.
No, D, I totally understand you. And, here's a positive. It's way better than the Phillies and the Sixers. I'll leave you with that. That is, peace and love, brother.
You got it, my man. Be safe out there in Colorado. That is the truth. That is the truth. with the hockey team, we still have faith in this particular squad than we do with the others. And the Phillies are scheduled to get back at it tonight against the New York Mets in the three-game set, their final three-game set here in Philadelphia against the New York Mets before they hit the road for like another 85 games, because that's how weird this season is. They have 87 home games in a row this past couple of weeks. Now they have 85 games in a row on the road, because this is just that weird 60-game coronavirus hit season for the Philadelphia Phillies and the rest of Major League Baseball. So Phillies back at it. Who's on the mound tonight? I don't even know. Is it Spencer Howard tonight?
Yeah, Spencer Howard.
Spencer Howard is tonight.
And the Mets not sure, because DeGrom got scratched with a stiff neck.
Gotcha.
So,
let me see if we can find that one here. I'll pull that one up here as the Phillies get ready to take on the Mets. The Phillies and the Mets, looks like it's Walker Lockett against Spencer Howard.
Oh, of course, Walter Lockett. Gotta watch out for him. Yeah. I mean, I can't talk down on
tonight.
Dude, I can't talk down on any pitcher in Major League Baseball who isn't in the Phillies bullpen, because I don't want to get down that rabbit hole. But even a no-name guy from the Mets, probably still better than what we're trotting out there after the fifth or sixth
inning. Look, man, I heard Anthony say this earlier, too. The lineup just simply hasn't been good. Realmuto and Harper, you can look at and say, all right, everyone else, you get something.
No, Didi's been all right.
Yeah, Didi's been all right. I won't exclude him. He's been all right. Everyone else, I mean, now you have Bohm that's coming in, and obviously that's a good thing for the team in the future. You hope that he's able to perform out there. You get Spencer Howard tonight, two of the players that we were talking about in the preseason before they started the regular season, where we actually thought they should be up here at the very beginning. It didn't matter, as it turned out, because the COVID Marlins hit Philadelphia and shut things down. So that being said, you get to see these two young players come up here, and hopefully they get some good experience for next season and maybe give them a little bit of a jolt, to be honest with you, because they just don't have it at 5-9 right now, 4-8 at home. The Mets are 9-11, so they're not great. They certainly have more games in the books than the Phillies do. But my goodness, this Phillies team, give us something to look forward to. And yes, it is something to look forward to with both Howard and Bohm, but can you get some wins here, please?
Well, they've been playing tough teams. They got to play the Orioles and the Marlins. How can you expect them to beat those two perennial powerhouse teams that I think both lost 100 games last year?
Yeah.
Come on.
Let's get this together here. Let's get this together. And Joe Girardi, I mean, yes, he is not, as we talk about, pressing the right buttons. He hasn't pressed all the right buttons, but he also knows he has job security, so he's fine regardless of what happens with him. He's going to be fine, right?
Yeah.
He's going to be fine.
Yeah, but the thing is,
general manager,
it's tough, though, because it's a weird in-between. Because he's good. He's got that job security. He doesn't have to press for the year, but he also kind of has to press just because of the nature of the shortened season.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a tough look. Like, for him, the natural, you're a baseball manager, you're used to 162. He played forever. His internal baseball clock is 162. And now, like you said, job security, he's cool. He's cool in the grand scheme of things, but at the same time, I think a lot of people, I know I'm starting to kind of get there where I need to feel a little bit more urgency out of him.
Yes. You know why? Because the losses are piling up. And
yeah,
You've seen some winnable games that sometimes they're not him, but other times you're looking at him like, really, Joe? This is what we got you for, to not do like the other guy. This seems very similar to what we've been seeing over the last two seasons. How about you not do that and do what we thought Joe Girardi was going to come in here and do? So,
yeah.
But you can point the finger at him, and you can point the finger at him, but we really know where it starts, up in the offices of the Phillies. That's where it really starts. And it's not fun. So they play the Mets this weekend for three, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Starts tonight. Howard against Walker. I forgot his name already, because it's Walker. And it's like, all right, you know, whatever. Let's see what they do against Walker Lockett. And he'll go out there and strike out 10. Because
yeah,
it's Walker Lockett. I don't know. 610-632 0975. We're taking your phone calls following, again, a Flyers 5-0 loss. We're not panicking at all. Not panicking at all. We're just simply asking, in a loss like this, when it happens, what gives? What gives with this one? What are your takeaways from it? They get back at it on Sunday evening. What do you think that they need to do to get back into their winning ways for this hockey team to get back on track, get their second win in the series, take a 2-1 advantage over this Canadiens team that shut out the Flyers this afternoon 5-0. Sixers, we'll get into that a little bit more as well as we lead you into Sixers basketball at 8:45. They will take on the Boston Celtics in round one, the quarterfinals of the NBA Eastern Conference playoffs. They take on the Celtics, a 3-6 matchup where the Sixers are the six in that 3-6 matchup, minus Ben Simmons. We'll talk about where you are in terms of your faith of this basketball team led by Joel Embiid. All right, we'll give you some audio as well from the head coach, Elaine Vigneault, and much, much more as we go along. Dante, we'll get to you and everybody else when we get back as well. 610-632-0975. Flyers postgame, we're in the crease. Sixers preview with the Celtics in the playoffs. That's upcoming. The game against the Houston Rockets, 9 o'clock tonight, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.